Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
In this audio cast number 13, get ready to have the holy shiitake scared out of you because I'm interviewing an exorcist. You got that right, so just
listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, your host. And this week we have a special topic. It's about exorcism because evil is real. And we're going to hear all about it. And this is a little different from what I normally do, simply because you know that this show is trying to reach people who are kind of outside the norm of the Catholic Church. And this might be kind of like outside of the norm of people's experiences. They'll just simply go to church for an hour or maybe 45 minutes on a Sunday or whatever they do, and then they leave. But the fact is, exorcism is a normal part of the Catholic Church. Why? Because the church exists to fight against evil. So in this appetizer, this amuse-bouche part of the show, while it is no laughing matter, I did find this joke, and it was kind of funny. So just to whet your appetite, here it is. I bought a car that once belonged to an exorcist. Unfortunately, it got repossessed. Ba-dum-bum. You get it, right? I mean, the fact is, possession is something that can happen to us if we ourselves are not willing to let go of the possessions that are used by evil spirits to enter into us. You'll find out all that I'm talking about when we enter into a deep dish discussion with an official exorcist. So just sit back, listen, and we'll be right back with a more deep dish discussion. This episode is brought to you by an anonymous sponsor who wanted to tell all of our audience to support their local Catholic bookstore. We know that bookstores are kind of just going by the wayside because you can get everything online. But your local Catholic bookstore, whether it be an actual store or something connected to your church, provides a different type of service. Not only can they give you great materials that you can give as gifts for people, but also materials that can help improve your faith, including sacramental devotions and even liturgical celebrations. So it is really a place not only just to grow in your faith, but also to develop community and experiences with the people who work there, because they're not doing it for the money, folks. They're doing it to provide a service, and the only way they're going to do that is if you provide your patronage to them. So thank you to our anonymous sponsor in reminding us that our Catholic bookstores, they do a great job in helping to fight against evil by providing great materials for you and your family. So all you got to do is just Google local Catholic bookstores near me and support them. Welcome back to this deep dish discussion here with Father Leo. And as I mentioned before, this particular episode is so sensitive, I am not really even allowed to say what this person's name is. All I'm going to do is call him Father because he is, as I mentioned in the intro, an exorcist. Dun, dun, dun. I mean, it freaks people out when they hear even the word exorcism because when I was a kid, my mother made me watch the movie The Exorcist when I was 6 years old. Oh, I couldn't sleep for like 3 weeks. And then later on, after I became a priest, I asked, Mom, why would you make a six-year-old watch The Exorcist? And she said, because I want you to know that the devil is real. And that just freaked me out, man. I mean, because the devil is real, which is why we are talking about exorcism. And the only thing that I'm going to do right now is just introduce Father, who is an exorcist. Father, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, I guess the biggest question is, how do you get into the exorcism business? Because that's just weird. I mean, as a priest, it's one thing, but then you go another level and you get into this particular ministry. How do you do it?
Well, I was invited by my bishop to do this work. There had been some cases that had come to our diocese, people who had called the bishop's office looking for an exorcist or help with spiritual problems, and our bishop began to look around and see if he had a priest or two that might be interested in doing this work. I had actually gone to him before when I ran into some strange spiritual cases and asked him for help. And then when other cases came his way, he asked me if I would be willing to undergo training and become an exorcist for the diocese.
So on a technical level, a priest who is ordained, and like myself included, we actually perform an exorcism in the baptismal ritual.
Correct. Every priest is an exorcist by dint of his ordination. It's become a specialized ministry in modern
times. That's what I want to know about. The specialized ministry. Tell me about what a specialized ministry means.
It means that you become a practitioner of something that not everybody else does in the priesthood. So just as doctors have specialties, you know, some are into obstetrics or some may be into oncology. Uh-huh. With priests, sometimes we're given special jobs. Some are teachers.
And you are an exorcist. I mean, like, is that the short end of the stick?
That is the short
okay,
end of the stick.
So folks, we've got an actual exorcist here, and I am not going to say his name for because he asked me not to, not that I don't believe it, because I did check his credentials out. He is truly an exorcist, and I got to know, why can't you reveal yourself? I was told, and correct me if I'm wrong, that somehow if you're public and you're exposed as an exorcist, that you become a bigger target spiritually, but at the same time, all I got to do is go on to, like, I don't know, some of these Christian websites, Catholic websites, and you're always hearing about the Vatican's exorcist is talking about this, that, and the other. What's the difference?
We are allowed to reveal ourselves, but it's a matter of prudence. And some of my exorcist friends in this country and around the world.
I'm so sorry. Some of my exorcist friends. Folks, just shooting the shiitake here. I'm talking to an exorcist and he's got exorcist friends.
Oh, there's a lot of us.
How many?
In the United States right now, I'd say there's probably in the neighborhood of 150.
Oh my goodness. There's 150 exorcists out there.
Sure.
And how many of them would reveal themselves, and why would it be imprudent to do that?
It's imprudent to do it because you do become a larger target. As I mentioned, some guys have opened themselves up and are public about the fact that they do exorcism ministry and that they give talks and help educate the public about it. Many of us choose to stay a little bit more anonymous about it simply because you get a lot of people coming after you who don't really need what you can do for them.
I see.
And it adds to your workload and it makes things a little bit more confusing at times.
Okay, now that makes a lot of sense because, like, if it's out there and saying, you know, Father X is the official exorcist, then you're going to get just a bunch of whack jobs.
Absolutely. They exist.
Now, sorry if I'm being improper, but there are a bunch of whack jobs out there. And so how you got into it because your bishop was looking for one and you expressed
interest? I mean, why would anyone express interest?
Not so much interest, but I had some cases that I didn't know what to do with.
What do you mean, cases?
People who had weird phenomenon going on in their houses. People who were experiencing what I now know to be signs of oppression. And I didn't know what to do with these people. They would call and say, we need a priest, and I could pray with them. But I knew that there was a lot more that could be done that I didn't know how to do.
Yeah.
And so as cases started to arise in our diocese, my bishop decided, okay, I need to have some guys who are willing to do this work.
Wow. So for people who are listening, they might actually think, oh, come on, you guys just are all total hocus pocus. This whole spirituality thing is just all kind of in people's heads. What do you say about that?
Evil is real. Evil exists. It is out there. The devil exists.
What does it look like? Because a lot of times when you hear the movie about exorcisms in movies, I mean, a girl's head is spinning around. She's speaking in different languages. He's got supernatural strength. Is that stuff real?
Well, there are signs that we look for in trying to determine if someone is in need of an exorcism, if they're truly possessed.
So there's a level. Okay, maybe what we'll do is let's talk out the process of how this happens. So ring, ring, Father X, hey, brother, we got a case here. What happens?
I try to meet with them in person first. And
wouldn't you be scared?
Well, yes and no, but in a sense, you get used to it. But I meet with them first, and I begin to ask some questions. I always ask if they've been to see a doctor, a medical doctor, or if they've been to see any type of mental health professional.
Okay.
And that's always part of the process where we want them to get checked out. So the first thing we want to do is we want to rule out any possible natural causes to what they're experiencing.
Okay. What would be some of the reasons why they would call you in the first place?
People are experiencing different types of sensations in their body that they can't explain and that the doctors can't seem to explain. Tingling, scratches.
Ew, you mean like there's literally scratches that are showing up on people?
Yes, that happens. That happens. People will have, oftentimes it'll start with something like bad dreams. They'll hear voices. They will see things like shadowy figures
in
their house. They'll have a sense of dread, anxiety, fear.
Okay.
So what we want to do is find out, is there really something natural here or is it supernatural with what we're dealing with?
Yes.
And so we'll have them have a general physical by a doctor. I have some doctors in my city that I can work with that have an appreciation for the supernatural, but are good scientists.
Okay.
And will let me know if they've got physical problems. Interesting enough, I had a case. A lady swore she was possessed by the devil. It turns out she had a gluten intolerance.
I'm so sorry for laughing. I am very sorry for laughing. But I mean, like, what happened? Did she just get a scratch on her arm and she...
Well,
I guess that's a great thing is the prudence, folks. It's not because he's some secret undercover thing. We're not disguising his voice. But the reality is there are some crazy people who will just kind of take advantage of the fact that they know an exorcist.
Right. Right. There are a lot of people who have a spiritual bend and don't want to deal with natural realities. They would rather have a supernatural problem because it in some way makes them appear a certain way in front of other people.
So you go through this checklist of questions. Obviously, a lot of it has to do with physicality, mental stability.
Sure.
And then do you actually delve into their own spirituality?
Eventually, yes.
Like I
want to know, first of all, are they practicing any faith?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a Catholic or another type of Christian? Or are you a Jewish or you know, do you practice Islam?
Do you get a lot of people from different religions?
I've had a couple of Muslims.
And they come to the Catholic priest?
They have, yes.
Don't they have an imam or something? I mean,
well, what happens a lot of times is we find people go to their own ministers and they get no relief.
Wow.
And this happens a lot, especially in the different Protestant denominations.
Yeah.
People will go to their Lutheran minister or their Baptist minister, and eventually they find their way to the Catholic Church because they hear somewhere along the way that, oh, if you've got this problem, you really got to go see a Catholic priest. And what's interesting, I've had a number of converts to the Catholic faith who have gone through exorcism and deliverance ministry.
Well, it is funny because if you even look at the popularized movies, the one church that fights evil very seriously is the Catholic Church. Why is that?
Well, it's a good question. I think that it's just something we've always done. It's something that we've always recognized. If you read the Gospels, much of the healing that Christ did was exorcistic in nature. There were so many times in the Gospels that Christ was driving out a demon. And so the Catholic Church, because we're the one true church founded by Jesus Christ himself, has always understood evil, and that has always understood that there is a devil and that there are demons and that we do have to fight him. And so it's been something that the Catholic Church has grown up with.
Yeah, so it is part of it. And so you ask this client, this person, a bunch of questions. They go to the doctor and everything checks out that they're kind of normal and there's something that's unexpected. What would have been the most scary or oddest case that you've had to indicate that this person truly was possessed?
It's difficult to say. I've had people whose physical appearance has changed. As we've prayed over them. I had a lady flop on my office floor once and slither like a snake, which kind of was an indication to me that maybe there was something.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
Like when you said their facial expression, they change. What does that mean?
It means that they no longer look like themselves.
You're kidding me.
No, their eyes change, their mouths change.
So there are truly some supernatural, unexplained things like physical deformation. Obviously, this woman slithering on the floor, how did that even start? I mean, set up that scenario. I think our listeners would be freaked out.
We were doing an interview in my office, and I was going through her psychological reports that she'd brought to me.
Okay.
And we were just...
You had met how many times?
This was probably our second time.
Okay.
I'd sent her off to the doctor. She'd come back. We'd had the reports released to me so that I could read them.
Okay.
And there are different diagnostics that we use as exorcist prayers that we say, little things that we do to see if there's something evil. Like, so sometimes...
There's like a manual or something that you have?
No, well, there's just training that you pick up, little tricks of the trade. So sometimes if I suspect that there is a presence of evil with the person, I may hide a saint's relic on my body.
Whoa.
And see if they have some type of reaction to that. Oftentimes that will draw a reaction from somebody.
Just real quick, before we get into that, how long does it take to be trained to be an exorcist?
Well, there are different ways to do it. You're constantly learning as an exorcist, constantly. And my exorcist friends and I often talk about cases.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I just recently had a case. I called friends in another diocese. Hey, this is what I'm dealing with. What do you think could be the problem and how would you deal with it? So we're always doing that. There are a couple of different, you know, 3-day, 5-day workshops that go on regularly. Okay. In the United States. There's a school in Rome where you can study over, you know, to do workshops. So the bishops of the United States have tried to make it easier for exorcists to learn the trade. And
only priests can be exorcist? Or, because I mean, I've seen a lot of Protestant ministers, Benny Hinn.
Right. In the church today, we reserve this ministry to priests, but that wasn't always the case.
Okay.
I know of situations where lay people in Protestant denominations have had a deliverance ministry and have even been effective. I think it's a bit dangerous because there are protections that are given to us by the grace of holy orders. But if we think about...
A priest is, in a way, a little bit more protected because of their priesthood.
Absolutely.
Than just a lay person who
is... Absolutely.
And you use the word deliverance ministry. Is that the same thing as an exorcism?
Sure. Well, deliverance ministry is for people who are not full-on possessed. So
okay.
there are different gradations of spiritual problems.
And let's talk about that in a second. So you can, just to summarize, there are workshops, there are courses. that people take. There's something official in Rome.
Absolutely.
And there are some lay people who are involved to a degree in
this. So most exorcists today have a team, people that they work with, people who are in the exorcism with them. So we never do exorcisms alone. You always have a group of people there for your safety and for the safety of the person that you are praying over.
I mean, would that team also include like a medical doctor, or is it just some like pious old lady?
It can. You do need men.
I'm like, why?
Well, there are times when people have to be held down or restrained.
What?
You need some help. Yeah.
So like truly some big guys who can hold somebody down?
They're helpful.
Wow.
Yes.
And how about with, I mean, is there a qualification for them? Do they have to be, like, what does it take?
What I look for are people who are true in their practice of the Catholic faith, people who are very devoted. I want people who go to Mass daily, who pray the rosary daily, who go to adoration regularly.
So not just like a regular bouncer at a bar.
Right.
Got it.
Right. I want people who are believers.
All right.
So it's important that you're living your Catholic faith with integrity.
All right.
If you're going to be involved in any way with this ministry.
And so this woman comes to you a second time because she went to the doctors, and you start doing what?
I have some sacramentals and a relic on my person hidden.
Sacramentals, for anyone who doesn't know what that means.
Sacramentals would be things like rosaries, scapulars, things that...
Like religious items.
Religious items that don't communicate grace, but dispose us to be open to God's grace.
And a relic is a what?
A relic is a piece of bone from a saint.
You're kidding me. So we have in our Catholic Church a piece of a bone of a saint, and you have it in like a little vessel.
Right.
And you carry that with you during these exorcisms.
I have a whole set of relics that I use when I do exorcisms of different saints that I keep around.
Is St. Leo the Great? And never mind. Let's just go back to this. So you meet with her a second time, and what exactly happened to get her slithering on the floor?
So she comes in, we start talking, and I begin asking her questions about her past. And what I was looking for are reasons why she may be having a spiritual problem.
Yeah.
Most people don't just wake up someday with a spiritual problem. They've done something, whether innocently or not, to invite evil in.
Interesting.
So for example, like using a Ouija board or being involved in occult practices, going to a seance, going to a medium or a psychic.
I just read in the papers that Satanism and black magic, it's actually growing in the United States.
It is. It is. We're also seeing other things that have been problematic, like yoga. I've had one yoga case, and a few of my other exorcist friends, people have gotten involved in very serious forms of yoga that have opened them up to spiritual problems. But I'm always probing to see what people have been involved in. I also look for patterns of sin in their life. If they've had a serious, grave sin that has become entrenched in their life as a habit, that can also open doors up. I'll look for cases of abuse. Drug addiction. These
really?
Things can open up doors.
Do people feel, and I mean, I guess the question that I would ask is, they're coming to you for professional help, spiritual help. Do they sometimes feel uncomfortable with maybe the questions you ask them? Because even the word probing makes a person kind of like, ugh, shudder a little bit. What is the general reaction of those folks?
What I find is, by the time people come to me, they're so desperate for help that they're willing to talk about everything, and I tell them up front, everything is confidential. I treat everything as I would under the seal of confession. Everything is kept very, very confidential.
Sure.
So, you know, you spend time building a rapport with people.
Okay.
And gaining their confidence and getting to know them. And it's amazing because a lot of people won't tell you everything up front.
Interesting. Yeah.
They're scared to, and it's only after you've been with them for a while that they'll come out with new information that you're like, gosh, I wish you would have told me this a month ago.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, no kidding. I mean, you don't seem like a very unapproachable person. I mean, I've known you, and so you feel very natural talking with you, but I can only imagine they are feeling probably a little weird about themselves and the situation. How do you feel about them? Like, what's going on in your mind? Suspicion? What's going on?
Actually, the most beautiful part about this ministry is that I found that it brings out the best in my priesthood.
Wow.
you can't help but love these people sometimes when you see how terribly people suffer. If you have even half of a priestly heart, you want to help them. And that's necessary because a lot of times this ministry is very difficult and the people are suffering so much that their behavior is not always great.
I can imagine.
And
there was a line in the movie The Exorcist that struck me, and one of the questions was, you know, this poor little girl, and I know that the movie was based off of something true that happened in Georgetown, Maryland, but it was a little boy. But one of the characters in the movie said, you know, to the older exorcist priest, "Father, why would anything like this happen? Why would God allow this to happen?" And the wise old Monsignor priest said, "It's almost as if God is just showing you the real ugliness of evil. And I can't imagine having to work with them." So you have a profound pastoral priestly love for the people coming to you. And you start talking to this woman. Believe me, I'm going to get to the slithering on the floor because this is just fascinating for me. And I'm sure our listeners, what was it that made that kind of pushed the evil button in her?
There was a prayer that I use that I often say quietly that I use as a diagnostic. And
quietly? What do you mean here?
So I have my desk set up so that I can sometimes turn around and still keep talking, you know, while the person is behind me, and I'll turn around and I'll say parts of this exorcism.
Dude, I wouldn't turn around. I just would not turn around. I mean, as you said that, I'm thinking, wink, wink, wink. I would not do it.
I've said a prayer, and I even let her know, though, that I was going to say this prayer. And it was a prayer in Latin. She didn't know what the words were. But it's an exorcism, and that's when she fell on to my carpet and began to slither. I'd never seen anything like this before. And
unbelievable.
So I got some holy water, and
I mean, did you just have to spring into action like a spiritual ninja? Because, I mean, the fact is, Father, this is not normal.
It's not normal. It's not normal. And it did take me aback. And I was fairly new, maybe 2 years into this ministry at that point.
Okay.
And
you said this silent prayer in Latin. Can you say, do you know the translation, maybe just a hint of what you...
Yeah, it was a prayer calling upon Saint Michael and our Lord and our Lady to drive out the demons.
And so, by the way, Saint Michael is kind of like the one who did battle with Lucifer in the Book of Revelations. And Lucifer was represented as a snake in the Book of Genesis. In the Book of Revelations, he shows up as a dragon with like seven heads, you know, a whole bunch of horns. And Saint Michael, the archangel, is the one who fought. And so you said this prayer.
We rely on Saint Michael a lot.
Okay, so you said this Saint Michael prayer. You asked for the mercy of God and Mary. What does she have to do with it? Mary?
Mary, as we know from the Book of Genesis, is the one who crushes the serpent's head. And so many times when I see manifestations, mm-hmm. I stop the prayer that I'm saying and I begin saying Hail Marys.
Really?
In the case of this woman, she stopped and was sort of, not unconscious, but just groggy and weird. But after a minute or so, she was able to compose herself and sit back up into the seat.
Which is where we're going to just take a quick break right now. I need to say a Hail Mary myself, give our listeners a chance to just take a little break. And when we come back, more with an exorcist, and we're going to hear how this story ends, and then also hear how people can avoid it. And more importantly, what do you do if you're feeling a sense of evil in your life? More Shoot the Shiitake in just a moment. We just heard about this epic fight between good and evil, which is why I write about it in my popular book, Epic Food Fight, A Bite-Sized History of Salvation. Printed by Servant Press and Franciscan Media, you can get this book that describes all about how God uses food to save us from the evil one who literally uses food to tempt and destroy us. A theology of food to remind us that the devil wants to devour us,
but from within, basically by what we feed our minds, our souls, and yes, even our bodies, which is why this book helps us to discern the various spirits that can enter into our lives and to make sure that we are hungering for the right food that can save us. If you want to learn more about this book, Epic Food Fight, A Bite-Sized History of Salvation, all you have to do is go to shop.fatherleofeeds.com. That's once again, shop.fatherleofeeds.com. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, and I want to apologize right off the bat. We're not actually going to hear the second interview now. We're actually going to push that to next week for a couple reasons. The first, most important reason is because there's just so much that I wanted to reflect on, that I wanted to do a carryout order with this first part of the interview. The second reason why I want to do it is because I want to do something a little different. And when I return after my carryout order, I want to kind of share with you the state of affairs of our Shoot the Shiitake show, and just to let you know all that is happening, to encourage your support, to encourage your participation by sending me questions and such, but more importantly, to just let you know what's been going on. But let's get to the carryout order and what I learned from my interview with Father. First of all, I totally respect why he wanted to remain anonymous. You know, there are enough people out there listening to the show that if they did hear his name, they could easily seek him out, search him out, and just barrage his inbox with emails wondering if they need an exorcism or not. I mean, look, every time I walk through an airport with a collar on, it's kind of like a freak magnet for people. I'll just be very honest with you. You put that collar on and they either think you're the spawn of the devil or you are Superman who can kind of take care of everything. You know, and I do appreciate it when people just say, hey, Father, can you pray for me about something? And I'm happy to do it, but part of me just wants to say, well, why don't you just pray yourself? And maybe why don't you do this? Invite me to pray with you about something. You can't just make me the only person who officially prays. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And that's something that I kind of learned from this first part of the interview, that fighting against evil is not just the responsibility of Catholic priests. It's the responsibility of every person who takes their faith seriously. And you do that with the basics. Next week, you're going to hear how we actually can fight against evil in our life to avoid possession. I would just die if I was ever possessed. Let me just kind of lay it out there right now, which is why I take my faith very seriously. Here's another thing that I got out of this carry out order. As I listened to this, and you have to know, I listened to the recording of the interview a couple weeks. In this case, it was a few months after I recorded this interview. And I kind of heard something in my own voice. It was nervousness. Just nervousness in it. And I know when I'm nervous because I kind of tell jokes, you know, and I kind of have a little quiver and you can kind of hear me grunt and sigh. I'm not as quote unquote professional in my communication. I was a little nervous talking to this exorcist because evil is real. And if I kind of tend towards making light of a very serious topic, and believe me, exorcisms are no laughing matter. The priests who do exorcisms and the team of people who support a priest doing an exorcism, they take their job seriously. And it is no laughing matter. But this priest has a tremendous sense of humor. I mean, he actually kind of laughed at some of my stupid jokes. But he told me something kind of offline because I kind of apologized for keeping it light and just making silly little comments. He said to me, but you know, Leo, that's good because one of the things the devil hates is joy. And it just kind of, it was a big blow explosion of ideas in my mind that if you take a look at people who are kind of prone to evil, you know, they're constantly dressed in black, not priests, of course, but you know, like the whole goth, Grateful Dead thing, that they just don't have joy.
You know, if they laugh about something, it might be at the expense of others. Joy is a great weapon against bad news, because joy is the product of good news. So while this is certainly a very serious topic, I want to just let you know, I take evil very seriously, because I take celebrating my faith joyfully very seriously. And so for all of those Catholics who only look at their faith with just like a dour sourpuss, is what kind of Pope Francis called it, just, you know, a sourpuss look on their faith, I'm not saying that they are prone to evil, but I am saying that they are going to push people away from the joy. And if you push people out of the church because you're just not joyful, then guess what? Then they're going to be more susceptible to all of the influences that could possess them. So let's just make sure that we know joy is an extremely important part, kind of our faith. So here's another thing that I learned. The priest said it really well. The reason why he didn't want to make himself known is because there are a lot of people who just might kind of present themselves as having this exorcism need in their life, simply because he kind of mentioned it. There are some people who might hide behind spirituality because they don't want to face the problems. And so they kind of just create for themselves a spiritual excuse, you know, these things happen because I'm possessed by the evil one. No, these things are happening because you need to develop a stronger relationship with your family, or you need to just develop a backbone and face people who might be hurting you in another way. And the reason why I say this is because one of the things that I learned from this was that they take science seriously, that they take not only theology seriously, but they obviously take biology seriously and psychology seriously enough. You can't even get an exorcism unless you actually prove that there really is a spiritual problem. And a lot of people like to hide behind spiritual problems because they don't want to address either the biological or the psychological or the sociological problems that's keeping them from experiencing the joy and the good news. I mean, the fact is, an exorcism has one job: to convert people, not just simply to free them from the evil one. I mean, because my gosh, we're not dead yet. Between now and the time we die, we're constantly going to be attacked by the evil one. Even the greatest saints were attacked by the evil one. So between now and the time we make our way safely to heaven, where no evil can touch us, we're going to have to face these problems. So an exorcist has not only the job to free us from the possession of evil, primarily an exorcist has the job to convert people, you know, to bring them to a life of peace, joy, love, happiness in Christ Jesus. So, I mean, that's just kind of all there is to it. Now, there are going to be some people who are listening who might think that exorcisms are just a bunch of mumbo jumbo, hocus pocus. Well, I got to tell you that I've been doing some research, and I've been finding that there are a lot of reputable psychologists and psychiatrists from Ivy League schools that take exorcism very seriously, because there are just some things that are not explainable to medical scientific communities. And so if you don't take spirituality seriously, then you're not even listening to, say, something like Johns Hopkins, where they say that people who do have a practiced spirituality recover faster than people who don't. In other words, maybe AA and all of those, you know, Addictions Anonymous or Alcoholics Anonymous, they all kind of claim that a higher power is the one thing that will eventually deliver them. So why wouldn't we take faith seriously? So in doing my research on exorcisms, I'm finding that there are more people who do take exorcisms spiritually, not as a legitimate science, but as a way to help people to free them from the afflictions that they get from what they claim to be a spiritual possession. And scientific communities have studied people before an exorcism and after an exorcism. So for the mumbo jumbo that people think, or the hocus pocus that they think, that, oh my gosh, the church is just a bunch of archaic fools who are just creating an opiate for the mass hysteria and the ignorant. No, we take
this exorcism ritual and the training of it very seriously. The priest that I met and the priests who I do know who are actual exorcists, they're not dumb people. They are very smart. They actually have not only great intelligence but great social skills, and they kind of know more than just theology. I mean, they're very just cultured people who are intelligent just as much as they are wise, as much as they are book smart. In other words, please don't think that exorcisms are just a bunch of mumbo-jumbo, hocus-pocus. It is real. Why? Because it requires us to be honest. I was so impressed to hear that what this priest and all exorcists are required to do is a little bit of more investigation. So in other words, before somebody can even get an exorcism, they've got to do a whole kind of set of studies in that person's life, not necessarily probing, so to speak, but in an investigation. So a psychological, a medical, a physical kind of psychological examination to see if this person is healthy in every other way. And yet, if they are able to speak in another language that they don't know or possess supernatural strength and power, and for them to, as Father said, contort their face to the point where they are completely unrecognizable, for heaven's sakes, there's got to be something that can help them to not have to do that. I don't think people want to be possessed. But the one thing that Father mentioned was that an exorcism just requires honesty. I mean, I keep thinking of that phrase, the truth shall set you free. The truth sets people free. And the truth is, evil is real. And evil wants nothing more than to convince us that we are not God's children. And if we are blinded or we don't accept the fact that we are God's children, then guess what? Whose children do we become? You know, and I ask this question all the time. If we're not helping people to become saints, then what do they become? And if we're not helping people to get to heaven by an example that means, you know, good news, again, not like yelling at people that you're not going to go to heaven, you're going to go to hell. I mean, people probably don't want to be anywhere near heaven if you're going to be there like that, being so jerky. But the fact is, if we're not helping people to get to heaven, then where do they go? I mean, and if people think that there's just nothing in the afterlife, then that's your thoughts and opinions. But people at least have to respect the fact that exorcisms have been a part of our Catholic Church's tradition for 2,000 years. We're the only group, really, that takes it so seriously that we get the scientific medical community to actually look into whether or not this person is even healthy to undergo an exorcism. And we put these priests and all of these team of ministers slash volunteers who help in an exorcism, they go through some serious training, and they're legitimate people. They're not a bunch of weirdos. They are real, normal people who know that evil is real. And if you don't believe that evil's real, all you got to do is just watch the news, for God's sakes. I mean, if you don't believe that evil is real, then why do we do the horrible things that we don't want to do, and all of the good things, like St. Paul, that we know we're supposed to be doing, we don't do? I mean, do we not realize that temptation is real? And that's kind of the carry-out order for me. I learned that, number one, I've got to take evil seriously, but I also have to take celebrating my faith seriously. I have to take good news seriously. I have to take joy seriously. The other thing that I learned is that I can't hide behind my spiritual life. If there's a problem that I'm feeling, it might be the devil, or it might be, as in the case that Father said, a gluten intolerance. You know, if I'm feeling down, could it be the devil? Yeah. Or it might be because I'm just lazy and I got to get my butt out of this chair and go for a walk or go for a run and exercise. You know, we can't just simply hide behind our spirituality. The third thing that I took away from this is that conversion can't be like a one-time thing. Granted, thanks be to God, I've never been quote-unquote possessed, but
I have experienced great temptation, and I still do all the time. And what do I got to do? Keep working on my ongoing conversion. Exorcism is about conversion, and if we're not doing ongoing conversion, that means a constant turning towards God and loving each other, then we might be opening ourselves up to evil. Why do I say this? Because evil is real, and we have to be honest with it. Again, the truth shall set you free. That's my carry-out order from this first part of this interview with an exorcist. Next week, you're going to hear the second part of the interview, and it is just as shocking and also just as helpful. But when we return from this little break, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to share with you just some of the things that are going on in the Shoot the Shiitake movement, give you some ideas on how you can be a part of it all, and then even just share with you some of the comments that people have sent to me through my social media at Father Leo Feeds. That's on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook, of course. And then if people email me, you can always do that at Father Leo, all spelled out, at FatherLeoFeeds.com. Again, that's Father Leo, all spelled out, at FatherLeoFeeds.com, all spelled out. So when we return, we're just going to do a little side dish discussion and share with you more about our Shoot the Shiitake message when we return in just a moment. If you're looking for a way to just relax and enjoy the company of other faithful foodies, but at the same time taking in some of the major sights of Italy's beautiful Tuscan, Piedmont, and Emilia-Romagna area, then please join me for a special Under the Tuscan Sun Faithful Foodie Retreat, October 1st through the 11th. 2018. We're going to be going to food capitals, but also faith capitals. And we're going to be spending several nights in one place under the Tuscan sun in your own private villa. And guess what? Me and another local chef, we're going to be cooking with you and sharing with you some of our insights and experiences of the Italian cuisine so that you can not only be fed body, mind, and soul, you're going to be equipped with a lot of inspiration and even a lot of recipes that you can share with your families back home. So if you want to join us on October 1st through the 11th, 2018, all you got to do is call Select International Tours at 800-842-4842 or just go to my website at FatherLeoFeeds.com/travel. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake for a little side dish discussion on what is happening here with the Shoot the Shiitake show. You know, we've had 13 shows and we've received a lot of positive responses and even a ton of emails with suggestions on future topics. People are kind of presenting their own situation and saying, hey, they would love to shoot the shiitake with me, and I'd love to do that. So let's make sure that we do that. So if you want to reach out to me and give me your suggestions, please email me at Father Leo, that's all spelled out, at FatherLeoFeeds.com. If you just want to go to the website and find me there, it's FatherLeoFeeds.com. The organization is Plating Grace, and we are the group that puts out this podcast, which is really trying to put the church where the church is not, in normal people's lives that just kind of might not be connected to the Catholic Church. But what I'm trying to do is use conversation to build bridges with people who don't feel connected to the Catholic Church. But in this particular episode, obviously, I wanted to do something a little outside of the box and share with you something that's kind of intense and deep, like this topic on the exorcism. But, please know that I also offer more Catholic content in what is called Learning from Leftovers, and it's
for premium subscribers, which is kind of what I want to share with you. I'm grateful for all of those people who have reached out and offered your encouragement and support, as well as for all of the people who are wanting to advertise with us. We're just kind of creating that platform so that we can do it right to maximize your message, your product, your movement with ours. You know, all together, I've got over 100,000 subscribed members, listeners, Facebook, social media followers. So, and that's not small, but it's not humongous. But what I do have is an active social media presence, and they are very interested not only in the things that I do, they're interested in the things that are connected to my movement. So please consider advertising with us. It's a lot of more specific kind of focused advertising that we want to maximize your message, your movement, your product. But you also have to know that really when you advertise with us, you're also supporting all that I do. And I kind of went through a list of everything that I do, and I think I do too much, to be honest with you. So I'm going to kind of do a little rundown with you so that you can learn a little bit more about the Plating Grace movement. Plating Grace is kind of like the umbrella for everything I do. And Plating Grace manifests itself in my speaking events, where you can book me at fatherleofeeds.com/events. You can book me for your events, and I travel around the country and around the world giving talks and presentations, not only on just theology matters and food matters, but even like to corporate events as well. I talk about how a company can really do a good job in feeding their employees, because the word company from the Latin cum panis, with bread, is what makes an organization successful, when they actually treat their company like a family and that they feed and support one another. So there's some great things that I can do for your organization, even as a consultant for some parishes, and that's just in the speaking realm. So I've also authored 3 books, and I'm coming out with my 4th book called Saving Your Family. And my 3 books are Grace Before Meals, Spicing Up Married Life, and Epic Food Fight. And I also have aprons as well, which are great because they're black and therefore slimming. But more importantly, it's just a reminder that we're all called to be servants. I also host my TV show called Savoring Our Faith. Currently, I believe it's on Fridays at 6:30 p.m., but a lot of people just DVR it because, I mean, honestly, who watches a lot of TV on Friday at 6:30? Well, I remember at one point when I was a kid growing up in the 70s and in the 80s, Fridays was like a super TV night. I mean, my gosh, you had Love Boat, you had Fantasy Island. At one point, Wonder Woman, the Linda Carter version, was on Fridays. That was just an awesome TV night. Not so much anymore. So if you want to watch my TV show, you can always go to EWTN.com/Savoring Our Faith and watch those episodes, even get the DVDs of my traveling shows, or you can just simply DVR it. That TV show was a little different because at one point I was just in the studio cooking and just kind of doing reflections and cooking a meal. But now it's actually a travel show, so a whole crew comes out with me to different parts of the country and the world, and we have 3 parts in every episode that feeds body, mind, and spirit. So, for example, to feed the spirit, we'll go visit a church or shrine that's kind of like known for something famous, and then we'll go to a restaurant that's connected to either that shrine or nearby, or a good Catholic owns it or cooks for it. But anyway, we try to go to a restaurant or a food center where you can be inspired and fed in body. And then I provide a recipe. I literally cook a recipe with local guests, and I learn a little bit more about them and their local town, their local city, and I try to cook a meal inspired by my visits that definitely feed the mind. So it's really kind of like a fun show. And now, besides the podcast, which you're listening to right now, I want to thank you for it. I also host a lot of travels where I go around the country and around the world. You've heard me advertise it. You know, I do about 4 every year.
in the 2018 year, I would have gone to Italy twice, Eastern Europe once, and then Jordan and Jerusalem once. Next year in 2019, just so you know, in 2019, I hope to go to Croatia and visit Medjugorje for my 30th anniversary of having gone there the first time and also my 20th year as a priest. So in June of 2019, I'm going to go there. I've got another special trip planned to southern Italy, Malta, the Amalfi Coast, and Sicily. And that's going to be co-hosted, God willing, with a good friend of mine from Sirius XM 129, Gus Lloyd of The Morning Show. I'm also hoping to get to the Holy Land again next October, and then doing another kind of special Under the Tuscan Sun retreat with a smaller group of people, kind of an exclusive group for just exclusive experiences. So as you can see, I'm kind of busy. And then on top of that, people always ask, well, where do you serve Mass? Well, my gosh, everywhere I travel. So like on a given weekend, if I'm giving a talk at a church, I'll say all of those Masses, plus do the talks. So I'm very busy with my sacramental life, and I'm asked to do a lot of weddings. And on occasion, if I'm available, I will do, obviously, funerals and then, of course, you know, anointing of the sick and such like that. And I do a lot of youth conferences where I'm speaking and hearing confessions for thousands of kids. Thank God there are a lot of other priests there to help. So I'm keeping busy, and I've just got to be very honest with you. I'm so busy that I kind of, like, want to slow down my speaking schedule and focusing on getting the message out on the podcast more. But the only way we can do that is if there are more people to be supporters for it. So I'm just going to just give you two thoughts on being supportive, because I don't want to be about making any money. I just need to make sure that we cover the cost of making every podcast and creating a little bit of a nest so that we can do even more good work through my nonprofit group, the Table Foundation, which hopes to build a restaurant so that we can use that as a formation house for ex-convicts. And that does not come cheap. So here's what I'm going to just ask you to consider, okay? Two things. One, please support the podcast by donating $10 every month, and you get premium content, which is basically extra shows. You know, for example, this week, we're going to be hearing from three priests and hearing their stories from different parts of the country and different diocesan experiences and how they're trying to just use all they possibly can to promote the gospel. It's literally kind of like inside scoop on what priests talk about with other priests. That's the exclusive content that come with our premium subscribers who donate just simply $10 each month. Ultimately, there are obviously higher grades, like if you donate $25 to $50, and then if you donate more than $100 each month, then there's even more content that we give to you. And then, of course, there's some big granddaddies of it all. You know, if somebody wants to donate $5,000, that will not only be a write-off for them, but I will go to your home and I will cook a meal for you and 10 guests with my assistant chef, and we will even have our own Shoot the Shiitake show with you and your family. And you're going to think, well, what will we talk about? Trust me, I'm a pretty good interviewer, and we can have so much fun just interviewing you and your family or your close friends at that episode. You know, and those are for like some big granddaddy supporters at $5,000, just a one-time thing. But really, my ultimate job is to my ultimate dream would be to get at least 1,000 people donating $1,000 every year. Just, you know, that sounds like a lot, but actually, that's not a lot at all. I mean, I got over 100,000 connected subscribers to my social media platforms in my website and such. And so, if you want a good charity to support, that's literally going to be making a difference in many people's lives, plus doing something kind of cool like supporting a restaurant, but it's really a social enterprise where, again, we're going to be providing formation for ex-convicts. I think what I need is just a commitment for 3 years of 1,000 people donating $1,000 every year for the next 3 years. And that will literally be able to get us up and running to provide good salaries and also to create other opportunities where we can spread this message across the country. I mean, my ultimate dream is to have different dioceses basically have Table Foundation chapters in their diocese, where every diocese has their own quote-unquote restaurant where sinners and saints can eat together. So you heard me, folks. I just wanted to kind of share this with you, you know, like where we are with it all. And one of the other things I wanted to do is just kind of give you two things that people have sent to me in how they understand my show, especially last week's show when I interviewed the transgender. There were an overwhelming amount of people who just said, thank you for just being willing to listen. They knew that I wasn't condoning behavior that the church might consider quote unquote sinful, abnormal, or unnatural. I mean, I'm not here to say that I agree with everyone that I interview, and I'm not here to condone everything that they say, but I am here to listen and to try to get a perspective. So for all those people who get it, thank you. There were a few kind of mean-spirited emails, and I'm not going to kind of read them because they were actually on my social media sites, and so you can find them yourself. But some woman just basically said, she wishes me the best. She's no longer going to be following me on my social media simply because my morals differ from hers. And I kind of wanted to tell her, and she just kind of like ended it with that, and she no longer is going to be part of following the Plating Grace movement. She doesn't care about Father Leo feeds anymore. She's been a follower for many, many years, and now she's just kind of just washing her hands and giving it up and saying, I don't want anything to do with you because my morals are obviously different from your morals at this stage. And I just thought to myself, oh my gosh, she has no clue that if she took that attitude with everyone, she would be alone for the rest of her life, or only with a small group of people who are kind of just living in a little bubble. You know, I mean, the fact is, there are many people who I disagree with morally, but I'm not going to shut them out of my life. I'm going to, as a Catholic priest, continue to do what I can to reach out and to at least build some sort of connection so that we are at least connected. That doesn't mean I agree with them, but the last thing I want to do is to abandon the flock. I mean, what did the Good Shepherd do? He goes out for that one lost sheep, and that's kind of my job. And that's just what I wanted to share with you, with kind of like a state of the affairs of the Plating Grace movement, because they're the kind of a parent company that's producing this Shoot the Shiitake show. You know, we're really trying to plate grace for people and trying to reach out to people who are on the outside of the church. That's my job. And I definitely need your support. So besides all the things that I do, I definitely need your support. We've got, again, some basic levels of sponsorship. $10 each month gets you premium content each week. $25 to $50 gets you even more. $50 to $100 gets you even more. And then, of course, a granddaddy of it all, if somebody wants to make a $5,000 donation, they'd use that as a tax write-off, and I cook a meal for them in their home for up to 10 guests, and we produce a show with you. And that just could be kind of truly a lot of fun, to be honest with you. And then, of course, you know, as far as advertising is concerned, we have ways to do it. Just simply reach out to us at fatherleofeeds.com/listen. Click on that information and we'll be able to, or at least call us, and we'll give you that information how you can advertise with us. But then again, my ultimate dream is if I can find 1,000 people donating $1,000 for the next 3 to 5 years, that is key to helping us to get our Table Foundation restaurant, cafe, and house of formation for ex-cons not only up and running, but even growing the mission and the ministry, literally taking our faith onto the streets, feeding sinners and saints all together, and reminding everybody that if you've done your penance from prison time, you should be invited to the table. So that's kind of like the extra side dish discussion from this week's episode, and we hope that you enjoyed it And I look forward to continuing part two of my interview with the Exorcist next week. But between now and then, stay hungry. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo, and we want to thank our sponsor who chose to remain anonymous, but they just wanted to encourage all of our listeners to support their local Catholic bookstores where they can not only get great materials to fight against evil, they can have great gifts that they can give to family and friends and really receive inspiration from all of the products that any good Catholic bookstore has to offer. So make sure you support your local Catholic bookstore, and all you got to do is Google local Catholic bookstore near me and trust that what you're doing as a patron, they're providing a great service for your community to help our Catholic faith grow, spread, and become more shareable so that we can celebrate it together.